Hi guys, welcome to the Accounting Tech Tar Pit, presented by Early Adopters Hub, the accelerator for accounting tech. I'm your host, Jack Teal, and this is a podcast for accounting tech startup founders focused on no BS, candid conversations about the challenges and benefits of building a startup in the accounting industry. Hey guys, welcome back to the Accounting Tech Tar Pit. Great to have you tuning in. We hopefully have a fantastic episode ahead. I guess we'll find out as we go through this. But I do know that we're joined by a couple of really awesome people, a couple of co-founders of upcoming early stage tech in the accounting space, co-founders of an app called Brief. They are very much in their, I suppose, beta testing phase right now, and I'll get them to expand on that a little bit. But before I do hand over to them to kind of introduce themselves, I just want to kind of shout out that the reason we have Kate and Matt here, and there will be a couple of other episodes with early stage founders too, is because most podcasts focus on the success stories, the apps that have made it, the ones who have exited, the ones who have already changed the world. And so we really wanted to make an effort to include founders who are early in the journey, because at the end of the day, if you are out there and you're thinking of starting a startup, or you're currently in the early stages of that, the priorities and the challenges that you face are going to be more aligned with those that maybe Kate and Matt are going through. And so, yeah, hopefully they can shed some light on that. So, Kate and Matt, great to have you here. Hope you guys are doing well.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, we're doing really well. Thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, difficult names to pronounce, it turns out. But look, how did you guys get here? How did you end up, building a startup for accountants? What's going on?
Long and windy road. Matt and I actually met during Oxford. So we were doing our MBAs at Oxford. And in the middle of COVID, we actually deferred for 12 months and moved to Sydney. So I'm actually a dual US and Australian citizen, and Matt's from Brisbane. And it gave us a lot. I think COVID was a really hard time for a lot of people, understandably. But for us, it gave us a time to pause and really think about what we wanted to do and what we wanted to achieve. And we took that time to, you know, really decide that we wanted to start a business. And so the second half of the MBA, we had gone back and decided we wanted to start something. And that kind of set us off on our journey.
Absolutely. And yeah. I think it isn't as straightforward as, you know, yeah, I want to know this, nail this idea and do that. We made the decision to start a business, and our original business idea that we actually took into the Antler Accelerator was something different. So you never know where you're going to end up. But I think what was, you know, most important for us was that we were building something that we believed in and were passionate about.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you've actually changed your mind a couple of times on the direction you're headed already, and I know you're not years into the journey, so maybe, you know, can you tell us a little bit about that? You know when you go and, you know, commit yourself to building a startup, it's a somewhat of a risky, uncertain, you know, journey ahead. So you know, you came there with something that was clearly gave you the confidence to go and do it. And now you've already moved or changed from what that idea was. So how did that all happen? And how do those confidence levels change as you go through that journey?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think for us, it was so different where we were coming from really stable jobs. So before, you know, going to Oxford, I was working at Goldman Sachs in New York. Matt was working at Santos in Brisbane. And for me, you know, events that were happening personally and professionally, I just really wanted to get out of that stability and do something that I was super passionate about, and not necessarily just caring about a paycheck or the next promotion. And so that kind of set me off on really trying to find something that I really deeply believed in. And I think you felt pretty similar.
100%. It was clear that doing something that we were passionate about was priority. So that led us to, you know, with a business idea. And I think the reality is a lot of business ideas have been tried before. And the thing about Antler that was really important for us was it is a lot of feedback very quickly. And there's one or two ways you can handle that. You can either take that on board or you can kind of block that out. And I think we really embraced a lot of feedback. We try to keep it very objective. And because of that, we knew that this business idea that we had taken into the accelerator and being accepted with wasn't going to work for a number of reasons. And that's when we had to go back to the drawing board and we looked at what are we really passionate about? Where do our skills lie and what are our experiences? And so, yeah, we came out of that experience for the better, I think, even though it was challenging, it knocks your confidence, but you ultimately grow through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people out there who go off and build startups, obviously everyone has a different journey to get there and a different background. But for you guys, it sounds like you had things pretty good, obviously maybe in terms of your jobs or maybe not. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong. But at least you were giving up something quite considerable, at least in terms of a paycheck, to go and do this. So how did you kind of already alluded to the fact that, well, it came down to passion and those kinds of things became a priority for you. Is the journey meeting your expectations on that front? Or, do you ever have those days where you just think, oh man, I could use a standard income right now?
I'm definitely the poorest I've ever been in my life, but I can definitely say the happiest. And I think, it's so interesting because it's so incredible to be outside of your comfort zone, and it can be painful, and growth is painful as a person. But, for me personally, when I was 25, my dad passed away super suddenly from a heart attack, and it wasn't expected. And that really set a light kind of in a match in me to really not waste this life, basically. And so I went from kind of just going every day, doing what I thought I should be doing, working really hard, but just, trotting around in life, to really trying to do the deep work to find what am I really passionate about? What do I want to wake up every single day excited to do? And really dedicate myself to that and not care about the money, not care about, stability, in the sense that I think we're very fortunate that we know we would never be on the street. But it is really uncomfortable to take a very little salary and do something that you believe in and you're unsure about. But I think that really ignited to take the chance. And I think taking the risk and the chance, you would never, ever regret it. And I think for us, it's just been the best.
Yeah, I think from my experience, it was the start doing a startup gives you the greatest opportunity to, I guess, explore your potential and reach your potential and expand your growth. And I feel like it tests you in so many ways that you get to really understand who you are and also show the world who you are. And I think that was a really intriguing proposition for me. It's funny, during the MBA, you go through these recruitment cycles and you get caught up in it. And early on, I was applying for investment banking jobs, all this kind of stuff. And it was actually Kate who stopped me one day at breakfast and said, is that really what you want to do? And I thought twice about that. And it was clear. I said, no, that's I'm just doing this because everyone else is. So from that moment on, I never have regretted just thinking about the life I want to build and chasing that.
Bit of a tar pit in itself, the idea of going and working at an investment bank. Maybe it looks good on the outside, but there's a lot of fossilized remains beneath the surface there.
Yeah, and we need humans to do that. And I think if you love that, then that's amazing. But it really comes down to what kind of life do you want to build, and how do you express yourself, and where is that job that allows you to do that?
Yeah. I had a very similar experience from audit at PwC, going through that for a few years. And by all means, same thing you just said, like, props to those people who love it because we need them. But yeah, definitely wasn't meant to be for myself. So look, guys, that's super interesting background and kind of how you've kind of come to terms with building a startup and getting it off the ground. You mentioned Antler, and I think there's going to be other early stage founders or potential founders listening here, curious to know what that experience was like and how it helped, but also whether or not, there's any specific relevance to the accounting space that you're in and that program, or, was there anything missing, or was there anything that was amazing about it? Yeah. Just kind of keen to, share any learnings or challenges or major benefits that kind of came that experience?
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, Antler is a 12-week kind of boot camp, or, you know, startup boot camp or accelerator. And at the end of that 12 weeks, they decide whether they're going to invest in your idea or not. A lot of people go to Antler to meet co-founders or generate ideas and things like that. It can be very exciting. It feels kind of like a game sometimes because you're going through this with the whole cohort. And so for us, we applied to Antler because we were coming out of the MBA. And so instead of getting, you know, big girl and big boy jobs and bootstrapping at night, we decided we really wanted the opportunity as early on as we could to work on full time on our idea. And we felt like this was the way. Additionally, we're both not from Sydney, and we weren't really familiar with the startup scene in Australia. So most of our network is in the UK, and then also I have network, a big network in the US, and I really didn't know many people here in Sydney. And so that was really the reason why we went to Antler. And during that process, we really got a lot. I mean, incredible friends, because you're meeting people who are going through the same thing at the same time. And being a founder is incredibly lonely. Very few people can relate. It's very difficult to find people who you have a lot of commonalities and similar interests with, I think, especially when you're doing this, because most people just think you're kind of nuts. And so that was really incredible to really meet great friends. And then also, there was so much feedback at all kind of every step of the way of the 12 weeks and through, and we kind of fumbled our way through it. I mean, we failed a bunch of times, we succeeded a bunch of times, and it really kind of set the tone for what the next year would bring. So that was really exciting, and it's super intense. And I think it gives you that start of what this journey is going to feel like. And so for us, we got investment at the end. But that was really, you know, we found really great about the experience.
Yeah. And you hear a lot about entrepreneurship in theory, but what Antler does is it puts into practice. You know, you have 12 weeks to go and, you know, turn an idea into reality. And I think they put a lot of pressure on the doing and you seeking real feedback signals. I think the feedback culture of Antler is fantastic. It can be very upfront and brutal, but ultimately it moves you faster, closer to where you want to be. But yeah, that environment was extremely helpful for us to, first of all, realign ourselves with a business idea that had potential, but also, you know, one that suited us perfectly. And then go in and talk to accountants and talk to small business owners and talk to people that knew the problem well and try and, you know, build solutions and iterate and get feedback. So it really put it into practice in a really constructive way. And I think we're much better because of it, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Great. Great. And you mentioned there at the end, you know, part of that was starting to talk to your users. And I imagine, you know, within a 12-week period, there's only so much that can happen. And obviously we've been working quite closely together for 6 months or thereabouts doing this thing. And I know how much time you guys have invested in speaking with accountants and understanding their pain points and problems. And I think actually a big positive, something that maybe goes a little bit unnoticed, is you guys aren't coming from an accounting background where you're like, look, I felt this pain as an accountant. Your experience is coming from maybe the other side of that, seeing people who are running businesses and being out there yourselves. And I suppose just, you know, how did you find that process to begin with, talking to accountants, learning about the industry? Do you have any lessons or any challenges for founders who are coming through and maybe have an idea as to like what that should look like, or how they could even do it better than you did it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, first lesson is just go and try it, because so many people are afraid to just take a step outside the door and go do that. I think there's a lot of incredible people. I mean, Liam, our first accountant who ever took note of us, you know, he's our accountant today and our great friend. And it really showed us that there are people that care about these problems and will help you help them. So I think the first lesson that we really learned was go and do it because you'll get the results.
I also think when we first started speaking to accountants, it was really difficult because we had a solution that we had in mind that we were going to build, and we were getting funding from Antler, and you end up just selling. And you try, especially us coming from an MBA background and not an accounting background, I felt like personally I was just trying to convince myself and them why I should be in that conversation and why they should listen to me and chat with me and why they should try our product, basically, instead of getting information from them. And so really early on, we found it incredibly difficult. And that's really why we, you know, from Liam's recommendation, but like seeked out you, Jack, and Early Adopters Hub, was it's especially in the accounting industry, it's so community-based. And it's really hard to, I guess, break through if you're not an accountant. And so being part of those conversations through Early Adopters Hub, doing deep customer interviews where, you know, coming in without preconceived ideas or trying to lead people in different ways, I mean, that has by far and away been our biggest benefit.
Yeah, and I think not being directly in touch with the problem itself has worked in our advantage to some degree, yeah. Because we put a lot of emphasis on making sure we really go deep and understand the problem. We weren't biased from previous experiences. We were open to what everyone was saying. And I think that's given us a really rounded perspective on the problems that, you know, accounts face in the advisory space, and also helped shape where we are. So I think, yeah, it obviously hinders you because you don't have the initial connection. But once you get over that initial connection, you build, you know, connections in the industry, it really helps from a attacking the problem perspective to not be too close to it, I think.
Yeah.
And your, what I've noticed in the conversations that we've had together is your open-mindedness, and despite you both being super well-educated and knowing, you know, being confident in yourselves, you are really open to feedback. And I think the comments you're making there on your willingness to listen and you know, absorb what people are saying, it isn't as easy for everybody to kind of do that stuff. I think there is a, especially in the startup space, there's a little bit of an attitude which is you got to back yourself in, but then there's the bit fighting against that, which is you got to listen to your customers. So what is it in your minds? Is it have an idea and go after it, or is it you know, be open minded and listen to what people say, or, you know, obviously it's a balance, but yeah.
I think it's absolutely, you got to back yourself to execute. You got to back yourself to overcome challenges. But I think knowing that you don't know everything is definitely going to work in your advantage. And the more you can get to know the challenges, the problems, and wider perspectives, and the more you can fill in that picture of what you're trying to achieve as a startup and the value proposition, I think that's definitely instrumental to building a good startup. But you definitely have to back yourself from an execution perspective.
And this is something I've really struggled with over the last year. It's probably my personally, like, my biggest challenge is you're inundated with so much feedback in terms of not just your customers, that's a different type of feedback, but a lot of investors, VCs, other founders in the ecosystem. Everyone wants to give you their hot take, right? Everyone wants to tell you how you should be doing this and giving you feedback. And I found that incredibly difficult to handle in the beginning, because I felt like these people are experts and I should just do what they say and throw away my gut, throw away, you know, my past experience, just kind of go down that path. And that really didn't serve me well. And I think that the best thing that I've been able to do, and over time, right, it's like a big journey, is create an environment where you feel like everyone can give you, where everyone feels comfortable to give you their feedback. Whether that's customers, whether that's investors, whether that's mom and dad, whatever, right? Everyone has an opinion. is, and then being able to filter and decide what is relevant and what you should keep and what you should throw away. And I think that if you can get to that point where you can collect everything and then use that to your benefit, that's the best place to be in. It's not taking every bit of feedback and implementing it. It's being able to organize it. What are the common, you know, things that keep coming up over and over and over again? And then maybe there's like a kernel there that you should investigate in, but it's being able to have that kind of bucket of feedback and then choosing what you want to take from that.
That's a really good point. Like, you don't want to just take everyone's feedback and just keep bouncing around. You need to move in a direction, and you need to do that with an element of conviction. So being able to process that feedback and then trust yourself when it comes to moments where you need to make decisions, because making decisions is just as important as, you know, testing the feedback around you. You can't be in a state of analysis paralysis essentially.
Guys, just to ask from one question from a different perspective, what do you do in a situation, if you've had that situation, where investors want to see one thing and users and your customers want to see something else?
I think you ask the investors why. I think you dive into the reason behind the questions. Maybe the investors have had a previous experience as to why they're looking for something in particular. Maybe the customer has a unique experience. I think you kind of need to understand the root cause of why that feedback is coming your way.
But I think, you know, for us, we didn't start this business for investors. We started this business for our users. And to really have a serious impact on the industry. So if you have two bits of feedback, I think, that are conflicting, like directly conflicting between your users and your investors, I mean, your users have to win every time, because those are the people that are, you know, solving their problems through your product. They're moving your product forward. They will be there day and night, helping you go. So I think, yeah, it's an interesting thing, because it does happen, right?
It's challenging.
And it's challenging.
And you do get things wrong. Like, this is a journey where you have to be comfortable with failing, because it's not possible to get everything right. And the more comfortable you come with making decisions and being comfortable with why you made those decisions, but then learning from that and adjusting if required, you know, that serves you really well.
I think from my experience working with people like yourselves, as much as we want to create that within our business, you know, a framework and a journey that can kind of say, look, you go from there to there if you follow this and you do these things, the reality is there's always an aspect of founder creativity and innovation and the ability to take feedback from multiple different sources and then pull together the most important parts of that and provide a solution back out the other side. That's the genius that you need to have. And I think at the end of the day, as much as there are support mechanisms around that to make sure that you don't fall into the common traps and the common pitfalls and make the same mistakes as everybody else who's gone before you, avoiding mistakes isn't solely your way to success. There's still another jump up that you have to make, which is, you know, Kate, as you were saying, like, you need to be able to analyze things and then make good decisions based off of that. And I think that's where people like us can help provide the data, but we can help to make sense of that. But at the same time, you need to be the ones as founders who make those calls, because I don't know how many of those bets you've made within your business and within Brief, but every time you have a theory or a hypothesis or you have a strategy around something, whether that's sales or success or product or something else, it is in a sense a bet that you're making. You're saying, we believe, based on the evidence that we have to date, that if we do this, that's going to happen, so let's do it. But coming to terms with that and de-risking that as much as possible and improving your odds as much as possible, I guess, is the game. That's what you're trying to do, is not take blind risks and not take ridiculous judgment calls, I guess. So I don't know, do you guys have a process to kind of make those strategic decisions or improve those odds?
We just talk. I mean, you just need to verbalize what you're thinking. You need to work together. I think we're very lucky because we work very well together, but we do come at problems from a very different perspective often. And I think that really helps us kind of analyze as much as we can the problems in front of us.
Yeah, and I think also, I mean, this is very much our MBA backgrounds, but we're pretty deep into following the Lean Startup methodology, which has helped us a lot because it allowed us to make decisions really quickly and be able to move forward really fast. And that was, we had that goal of let's stay nimble. You're only going to be right 50% of the time. If you're 100% right, then you waited too long kind of idea. And that really freed us. And the whole build, measure, learn actually really helped with that concept of being, you know, this isn't personal. You're doing this fast. Take as much information as you can. Get as much feedback. Learn and keep going. And I think that's really, really helped us to have a methodology, whatever you choose. But it allows you to have something else almost thinking for you. So it's not like every decision is so, you know, you have to think and mull over and over again. You're able to kind of say, does this fit in this framework? Yes, no. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, and I think you do want, at the end of the day, the business to reflect its founders, right? You don't want to create something that is pulled straight out of a textbook or a predictable pathway. I think a business is about people.
Yeah.
And ultimately, whatever is created will be a reflection of the people creating it. I think that can be... It can be risky at times to express, you know, your vision, but like end of the day, that's why you're trying to do your startup, right? You wanna bring your vision into reality. So
yeah.
Perfect, guys. I have a couple of final questions to wrap things up. Questions that we ask every founder that we talk to. The first one, you tell me if this is too early in your journey to answer this question, but most founders who are down the line, maybe a few years down the line, have had these experiences where they've become extremely close to being an extinct startup, you know, falling into the tar pit and disappearing among the remains of all the other startups that haven't made it. Whether that was, look, we had to make a decision, it could have gone one way or another, and it just so happened that we made the right call and the business started booming rather than that being the end of us. Do you feel like you've had a point in this journey so far where you ever got really close to packing up or walking away from it or anything like that?
I don't think we ever had a moment where we're willing to walk away from it. I think we're really aligned with the life that we have and what we want to create and build. And I think there is an element of, you know, there are points in time where, you know, big decisions need to be made, but those points in time are all connected to the points before it. So, you know, if you're continually moving in the right direction and aligned with who you are and what you want to bring into reality, I think it kind of, I don't know, it hasn't yeah. fruition to me. I don't know.
Well, and to give a little bit of context, so we raised from Antler in June of 2022. And this was after, so 6 months, 12 months before, everyone's flush with cash. And everyone is like just knocking on investors' doors and just getting checks. And then all of a sudden, you know, the economy tanks. And it was incredibly difficult to raise capital, especially with an idea, right? Which is what you're getting money from Antler from. And so you have to execute really fast. And so I think for us, especially in early stage companies now, is your runway is, you are on a tightrope. You really are. I mean, we are taking very low salaries. Our spending is incredibly low. We have to kind of create magic with not many resources, which I think it really works in people's favor to be able to create something with constraints. I think incredible things can happen that way. So I think you're, instead of having like one finite moment, which is like, let's pack up because it's not going to work. It's almost like every day you're just tiptoeing because you're just teetering. You don't know if something big is going to happen to alter it. And I think that's a different feeling, especially for a very early stage like us going into, you know, us just now having a beta.
I think that comment on investment is probably, you know, and how difficult it is for startups right now compared to where it was only 12 months ago, even. You know, it's probably one of the biggest challenges that early stage startups are facing in this moment, because maybe there was business plans built around the expectation of raising. Mm-hmm. But I guess to wrap up, we don't have time to go into that right now, but I am curious to know, apart from that, what do you think is the biggest challenge that startups new to the accounting space need to prepare for? If you're going back and speaking to yourself 12, 24 months ago and saying, look, you're going to be in the accounting tech area, you're going to be working with accounting professionals, what's the biggest challenge? What's the biggest thing that early stage founders can look out for?
We may have different ones, but for me, I think that a common pitfall is that people are building a product for a whole industry, you know, and they don't actually think about what is their target market within the accounting industry. And I think a solution for, you know, an accountant who's practicing by himself or doesn't have any employees is a very different solution than a KPMG or a massive accounting firm. And then there's everything in between. And I think you have to really, really consider that early on, because that really changes the product you're going to create. So that would be mine.
Yeah. And I honestly think something that I learned a lot about and struggle with initially was how to ask good questions, how to really get to the core of what problems accounts are facing and how to understand that problem deeply from a non-biased perspective. So, you know, books like The Mum Test have been instrumental in changing the way that I, you know, ask questions and try and keep my own perspective out of it to get the gold that is the reason why they're having these problems.
A great book recommendation for any early stage founders out there. Look, Kate, Matt, thank you both for your time today. Really enjoyed having a good conversation. Some really good lessons in there for founders coming through, especially just around, like, you know, backing yourself in and, you know, trusting yourself to execute. But being open-minded like you guys is obviously a good way to achieve success. So thank you again for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you once again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are a potential founder in your early stages of developing a product or elsewhere in the journey struggling to achieve product market fit, we would love for you to reach out at www.earlyadoptershub.com. This has been another episode of the Accounting Tech Tar Pit, presented by Early Adopters Hub, the accelerator for accounting tech.